Daniel chapter number 6. You know, lately, pastor's been using me in a lot of stories, telling stories about our youth. And I want you to know, anytime he tells a story, you need to check with me and get the real story, okay? He has had it out for me since we were little. And he's always been trying to do away with me. I remember them, man, we were young. I was 8 years old when I moved from the one house, so I was not very good on a bike. And I was talking with someone this morning about, I know Savannah had to go down to the hospital again, right? And, Abigail did. And I was like, yeah, that was me. I was always running into something or hitting something. I don't know. I split my chin open, I don't know, 5 or 6 times. My mom just butterfly band-aided it. She was like, it ain't worth it. Split my forehead, the back of my head, a bunch of things like that. It was always because my brothers were trying to kill me. I was about 8 years old when we moved from the one house, and so it was before that, I know, and they set up a bike ramp, like the bike ramps that everybody's older brothers set up. You know, it's a 2x6 on a bucket, a 5-gallon bucket. They're like, man, this is going to be so fun. Adam, why don't you go first? And no one went after on it after I tried it. I don't know what happened there, but man, they'd take me up there and kaboosh. And they would go. We set up a swing in our backyard and had a tree there and put up a rope on it. And they would bring out a step ladder and put it up and say, hey, let's get on top of this and swing. Well, the fence was on the other side. And so we learned how many steps not to go up or you would hit into the fence because they sent me up there. He's been trying to kill me all my life. Man, when we were probably in our, maybe right at 20 years old. I might have been a little younger than that. Another church, a church down by Cincinnati, gave us a van. Gave our church a van to use as a van route. And if one church gives another church a van, they probably shouldn't be giving it, you know. They ought to pay you for it. And so we went down to get it. He and I did. And we're driving back and we're driving around Cincinnati on 275 around Cincinnati there, and it starts raining, and then it starts pouring rain, and I'm driving this old van, he's driving in front of me, I go turn on my wipers, and there are no wipers. It had stripped where it goes into the wiper there, and so I'm turning, and I have nothing, and it is pouring rain, and I'm trying to follow my brother, who, let's just say he's met police officers multiple times on the side of the road. And so I'm trying to follow, and I can't see anything. And so I'm rolling down my window, putting my head out the window, trying to see. I'm like flashing my lights at him, trying to wave at him. And I was young enough. I probably wasn't 20 at this time because I did not know the way home, and I didn't have a cell phone for directions there. And I'm like, I've got to stay with this guy, or I'm going to be lost. So I'm flashing my headlights. I'm doing everything I can to catch up to him. Well, this old van, not only did the wipers not work, but it gained speed very slowly. And so I'm doing everything I can to catch up to him. And I finally come up beside him. I'm like, I can't see. I can't see. He's like, oh. And next exit, we get off. And he just goes around and comes and turns around on the interstate coming back. And I'm like, what in the world? And that stretch there was like, it was like 5 or 6 miles between exits. And so I spent like the next 5 or 6 miles trying to catch back up to him, like, pull over, I cannot see. And so finally we get pulled over, and he's like, I wondered why you were waving at me. I was like, stop and find out, man. And so he almost killed me there. He's been trying to kill me my whole life. So you all pray for me, and you say, well, what are you doing down here? I don't know. I don't know, but you pray for me that I can survive this. But I felt like you should get some stories about him that were actually true and not his falsehoods that he tells about me from the pulpit. But Daniel chapter 6. And I'll tell you what, if you'll stand with me, we're going to read verses 25 through 28. Daniel chapter 6, verses 25 through 28. The Bible says, then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth. He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the truths we see in your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts as we look at your word today, some things on Daniel's faithfulness. And Lord, that you'd get me out of the way. Help me to just say exactly what you want me to say. And Lord, that you'd work in each one of our hearts. I love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to kind of go down through this chapter here. I know it's a story many of us know, Daniel in the lion's den. But I have a couple truths I want to pull out from Daniel's life that I think led to this here. I love this. This decree that King Darius makes, the ruler, if you will, of the world at that time. And they were the world power. They had just come in and taken over the Babylonians, who were the world power before that. And here this decree goes out unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth. And what a decree that goes out. And Daniel's God lifted up. I can't help but think of the verse where Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Man, Daniel had a life that did that, a life that pointed all men to God, lifted and exalted his Savior. And I want to look at some things that I think led to that in David's life. So if you'll look back with me at the first verse, and we'll read through this, and we'll stop some and pull some things out of this chapter. It says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. And first thing I see here about Daniel is Daniel's, if you will, long-standing practice, this excellent spirit. And I'll tell you what, it kind of goes into the story, but we'll read the first fourth verse right now too. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. And we see Daniel's long-standing practice. This year is about almost 70 years, looking at history and stuff like that, at least 50 years, almost 70 years since Daniel chapter 1, where Daniel was taken captive. And so Daniel's been here over 50 years, probably over 70 years here in this kingdom. And he's been a ruler for most of that time, right? We look at Daniel chapter number 1, and he's quickly exalted into a position of leadership. And over again throughout the book, you see that through multiple kingdoms, Nebuchadnezzar, Belteshazzar, Darius here, through different countries, right? Babylonians, and then the Medes and Persians come in and take over them, and Daniel exalted once again. Man, we see his longstanding practices. Daniel was a man here of an excellent spirit. An excellent spirit was in him. Now, what is that excellent spirit? You know, we can debate back and forth and look at different things, but I will tell you this, there was something about Daniel that even the world looked at and said there's an excellent spirit on him. Man, he had some long-standing practices that he behaved himself in such a way that, if you will, kings wanted to be around him. They're like, this is the kind of man I want on my staff. This is someone I want to promote that I'm going to exalt over all. As a matter of fact, he said there that Daniel was preferred above the princes and princes because an excellent spirit was found in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Man, the king is looking and saying, I want to exalt him over everyone, this excellent spirit that is found there. Man, he had some godly practices in his life that even the world looked at and said, man, that's something to emulate. And man, I can't help but think of what the world thinks about us in that. You know, does the world look at us and say, hey, everybody, that's someone you ought to be like? Now, here's the thing. They may disagree sometimes with our practices. Man, I'm thankful that I've got the Word of God that tells me how I ought to live. And with that, if I take a stand on there, there are times there are others fighting against me. I mean, we're going to see this here, right, with the presidents and princes coming and fighting against Daniel. But man, Others looked at him, the world even looked at him and said, and you can't find fault. Even the princes and presidents, as they come against him, it says, but they could find none occasion nor fault. Now remember this, as I already mentioned, this is over 50 years to 70 years that Daniel has been in a position of leadership. So here, all of this time now, and they still can't find fault in him. Man, all along, all this time in leadership, Daniel has lived an impeccable life. An excellent spirit was found in him. It says they could not find any fault. And it says, why? For as much as he was faithful. He was a faithful man. Man, he had a long-standing practice that he was faithful. His spirit could not be wavered. Man, I think of this. Daniel and the trials he's already faced, and his excellent spirit remained. Man, here he is. He's about to go through another one. And you know the story, and we'll come around it. But Daniel stays strong in the face of impossible adversity, right? He's going to be thrown in a den of lions. His excellent spirit. Man, I remember I was working at a job, and I came in one day, and things were all haywire and all kinds of stuff. And I came in, and my supervisor was there. And my supervisor asked me, he said, did you cuss? I said, no, I did not. He said, I'm going to get you to cuss before you're done with this job. I looked at him, I said, you will not get me to cuss. And it reminded me there when he had said those things that people were watching me. And I had just gone through a hard day of work. And my attitude had suffered from it. I told him it's a good thing I have Psalms on my iPod. Because I had to turn on the book of Psalms and just listen to that and fill myself with it that day. I was not a happy camper. And I was working on my spirit with that. You know, he was watching. People are watching us. And I wonder what they'd say about our spirit. I wonder what they think about us. And David had an excellent spirit. And the king was like, that's someone I want with me. And we see he had an excellent spirit. He was faithful. He was ever in his place. They knew where he was going to be. And it says here that the princes and the president sought to find an occasion, and they couldn't. There was no error or fault found in him. In verse 5 it says, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus on him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, first thing I see about them is they're a bunch of liars. Because they said right here, all the presidents of the kingdom. But when I look at verse number 2, it says, now over these three presidents of whom Daniel was first. So there were only three of them, and one of them was not in agreement with this. So all the presidents, they only had 2/3. That's only because there were three of them. And they were liars. People are going to lie. People are going to come up with stories. People are going to fight against those doing right. And they had to come as they were looking for something to bring against Daniel, and they started lies about him. And I will tell you this, and the king doesn't recognize this lie right here, but it reminds me again, as it goes back to this, his longstanding practices, that, man, we ought to live in such a way that when a lie is spoken, people know it as a lie. People stand out against that. Man, I remember sometimes people said things about my dad as my dad had took that church in Marion, Indiana. And the name of the pastor had been drugged through the mud there. There was a very large Baptist church that was there. And the pastor had done sin, incredible sin, and had been removed from that. And the next pastor came in, sinned again. And I think it was 3 in a row. And finally, they sold the church. And they sold it to the American Legion. The platform in the auditorium was their stage. The PA booth in the back was where they had the bar in the American Legion there. And the name of pastor meant nothing. What was left of that church went and started a church, Kim Road Baptist Church. And my dad took that church years after that, about 15, 20 years. And man, I remember going and knocking on doors and people were like, yeah. Man, to talk about a pastor, and no one had a respect for pastors. And man, my dad came in, and I remember some of the hard times and the struggles with that town and trying to do that. And my dad was just there faithful and built his name. And not too long ago, I was talking with my dad, and there is the big Chevy dealer there is owned by Barry Bunker. My dad was in there talking with Barry Bunker, and he was talking about some other stuff. And Barry Bunker said, well, you know you're the pastor of Marion. My dad's like, what? He's like, yeah, you pastor all of Marion. My dad's like, what are you talking about? He said, man, everybody in town knows that if they really want to know where God stands or what is right, you check with Pastor Han. He said, man, I'm around businessmen all the time. Everybody knows that. And a testimony there that when someone would say something, man, people would look and say, that's not true. I remember people starting some lies about my dad. And I remember a businessman calling my dad and saying, hey, pastor, I just want you to know. And he didn't come to our church. We knew of him, but I mean, he didn't come to our church or anything. He called my dad. He said, hey, pastor, I just want you to know. Someone came in and they were talking about you and they told me this, that, and the other. He said, I told them, not Pastor Han. That's a lie. If you're going to talk that way, I'm going to take you to him. And man, he had a testimony. Man, I look at that with Daniel, the testimony that he had. But these presidents and princes, they conspire and come up with this plan that no one can ask a petition of any god or of anyone except the king. It says in verse 8, now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Man, the king was hasty in signing this. This isn't part of the message, but just a reminder to me on, man, think before I act. King Darius, he's going to regret this here in just a couple verses. How many times have we made a rash decision only to come back and regret it? But we see in verse number 10, Daniel's determined faithfulness. The Bible says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. And we see Daniel's just faithfulness. Here they signed this decree, and you know what Daniel said? He said, I'm just going to keep doing what I was doing. I know I was right in what I was doing. And now here's the thing. We got to make sure we're right in what we're doing, right? Man, there are times I'm like, I think this is right. And I go forward only to find out I was wrong and doing things in my own strength and what I thought was right. But man, when I'm standing with the Lord and I'm doing what God wants, man, what does it take to stop us? Daniel was determined. He's like, I'm faithful and I'm not going to hide my faithfulness. My windows will be open just like they always were. I'm going to come and I'm going to face Jerusalem. I'm going to pray to my God just like I've always done. I'm not going to change things because of what's going on around me. I'm not going to change because of the circumstance. I'm not going to change because of what other people say. I'm just going to be faithful. I am determined to serve my God. Man, a determined faithfulness. And we lose some of that in today's day. You know, part of this, I was thinking about Brother Fowler, right? Faithful. If there's anything you can tag on Brother Fowler, it's just faithful. Man, always in his spot. Always in his spot early. I mentioned it at his funeral. He was always early in his spot, except for meals. He didn't come to meals, at church meals. I'm sure his own meals he was faithful to. But he didn't go out and eat with all of the other people. But man, always faithful. You knew you could rely on him. Someone who is reliable. You know what I thought of this? He's gone. Who takes his place? Man, there's got to be some determination to be faithful. That I'm going to be in my place. That, hey, it's not going to stop me. I'm going to be there. Man, a determination. I think of where the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful. We need to be faithful. I heard a preacher preached one time, two preachers, two youth pastors who have heavily influenced me. And man, one of them was preaching and he said, He was talking about there's a lot of things he can't do as well as someone else. But he said, I can always be faithful. I can always be in my spot. Man, I made a commitment to God then. God, hey, there may be a lot of people who are better at a lot of things than me, but I can be faithful. Man, any one of us in here can determine that. I will be faithful. There's another youth pastor that heavily influenced my life. Actually, he preached here, Brother Eddie Lapina. Man, I remember hearing him preach one time, and he preached, and he said, there are a lot of preachers who can preach better than me, a lot of people who are more creative than me, a lot of people with a more dynamic personality than me. He said, but I made a determination to my God that I would work harder than anyone else. I'd never be outworked. He said, I'd always be in my place and I'd always be working hard. Man, I was like, man, I can make that decision. Man, I can't preach like some people can preach. I definitely can't sing like some people can sing. Man, there are a lot of things that, and if I start looking at everybody else and all the talents they have, I can get discouraged and say, well, you know what, it's time to let them do that. It's time to let them do things, and I'll just be satisfied back here. But God doesn't call us by our talents. God calls us to be faithful. He calls us to work for him, to labor for him. And Daniel here, he said, it doesn't matter the circumstance. I'm going to be in my place. I'm not going to let it stop me. Man, we need to be determined to be faithful. We see Daniel was faithful in prayer, right? He went into his house and his windows being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed. And he was faithful in prayer, going before his God in prayer. And we need prayer warriors. Man, it seems like every time one of our elderly pass away, everybody's like, there goes another prayer warrior. There goes another prayer warrior. I just wonder who's stepping up in that. Who's taking the mantle? Hey, who's saying, hey, I'm a long ways from the age of Brother Fowler, okay? I'm not quite halfway to the age he was when he died. But hey, there's a need for prayer. That's not, hey, only the elderly can pray. Man, that's a call to any one of us. Pastor preached on prayer last week. Man, we need to be people of prayer. And Daniel was a man of prayer. He's like, I'm not going to let anything else determine my prayer life. I'm going before my God three times a day, as I did aforetime. Can I tell you this? I think that last phrase in that verse there made all the difference in the lion's den. Man, it says, as I did aforetime. Man, I'm sorry for my voice. Sorry about that. But, man, as he did aforetime, can I tell you this? We're never going to have victory in the lion's den if we just have emergency prayer times. Man, when I run, and I'm thankful for emergency prayers. I was telling the teen guys this morning about a time driving down the road, and I thought for sure I was done. Man, I cried out to God, and seriously, I felt like I could feel him holding my car on that, and man, just protected me, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for emergency prayers that I can offer up to God, and God answers those, but that's not where the great victories come from. Man, Daniel didn't live in the lion's den because he said, oh God, hey, they just signed a decree, and Lord, I need you now. And this was something he'd done aforetime. This was Daniel's life. I mentioned already his long-standing practice. Man, here it comes down. They're like, you can't pray anymore. And Daniel's like, what? You think on one day you sign this decree for 30 days and it's going to change my entire life? Man, I've been going before God for years, for decades. You're not changing that. I've got a relationship here with God that is stronger than anything else. And you're not shaking that. And how strong is that relationship with God? Man, is our aforetime strong enough to face the battles of today? Man, he had a determination when it came to prayer. Hey, God expects us to pray. When Jesus told his disciples in Luke 11, and he was leading into the Lord's Prayer, he said, and he said unto them, when ye pray. He didn't say, if ye pray. He said, when ye pray. And God expects us to pray. We see Daniel's determined faithfulness. It says in verse 11, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? Here I'm asking the question like, hey, you know you did this, man. You'll never believe this. I can't believe what happened. You signed this decree. Then the king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth thee not, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Three times a day he goes before his God. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased. And look at that, though, not with Daniel. Man, here Daniel is disobeying the king's decree, right? So you think, man, that king's going to be ticked off with Daniel. Remember Nebuchadnezzar when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't bow the knee? Man, he was so mad his visage was changed at them. Look at Darius. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Man, we see here Daniel's testimony with others. Man, here the king signed a decree. And he's like, what can I do to change my decree? Man, this is Daniel I'm talking about. This isn't just anybody out there in the kingdom. This is Daniel. And the king sets his heart on Daniel. The king is displeased with himself. I can't believe I did that. This is Daniel. What can I do? I'll do anything to save Daniel's life. Of course, the men had planned for that in verse 15. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But look at what the king says. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And we see Daniel's testimony with others. Here the king was looking to say, what can I do to save Daniel's life? Daniel was worthy of the king looking and saying, how can I change these rules? How can I change this decree that I made? And then not only that, you see Daniel's testimony with others. As the king is looking, he's like, Daniel, there's nothing I can do. I have to throw you in the lion's den. I made this decree, but I can't change it. But thy God, that one who you've been so faithful to serve, that one who I've seen you serving, that one who, as I came into the kingdom, I heard about how you served him all through Nebuchadnezzar and Belteshazzar's days. Man, that God that you have served, and I love this, he said, thy God whom thou servest continually. You see, again, Daniel's faithfulness, right? It says continually. Daniel, I've seen it over and over again in your life. There's never been a time when I haven't seen it. Man, it's continual. Your faithfulness to your God, he will deliver thee. I think of this. How did Darius know that God would deliver Daniel? All he knew about Daniel's God was Daniel. And we're going to see that as we get farther in. You see, Daniel had a testimony with others. Look down at verse 17. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. You see, he was in distraught. Man, this is Daniel. Daniel is in that lion's den. What is happening in there? I can't see that. And he's fasting, and his sleep goes from him in verse 19. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? We see here Daniel's deliverance, or if you will, we see Daniel's God revealed. In verse 21, it says, "Then said Daniel." Daniel answered. Man, here it is. He's been all night in this lion's den. And the king calls out, "Hey, Daniel, Daniel, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee?" And he hears a reply. "Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me." Wow. What a statement. In my God's eyes, I was found innocent. How can you make a statement like that? He says there, "For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." And Daniel was delivered, and his God was revealed to Darius. Man, Darius had said, "Hey, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." But man, he's up all night. He can't sleep. Will it happen? Will his God really come through? I know Daniel served him continually. I've seen Daniel praying to him. I know Daniel lives his life in such a way that he honors his God. I know that. But will his God do it? And he comes down and he cries out. And Daniel answers, "Hey, my God, shut the lion's mouth." His God is revealed. Oh, that God would be revealed in our life. Man, I think who out there in the world would say they've seen God in us? Who out there have we had an impact on? Because they look and they say, "There's something different about you. And your faithfulness to your God. I have seen God in you." Verse 24, "And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came to the bottom of the den." Then look at this here. We see Daniel's reach in this, if you will, his outreach, his reach to others. "Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth." Man, Daniel had a reach on everybody, everywhere. When I think of that, I think of what our command is, right? "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." And that's a command to us. I think it's been a couple years ago when Brother Garraway was here one time when he was preaching, and he mentioned that how God has given us a command, and if God gives us a command, he provides a way to do it. And he says, and yet here we've had this command to take the gospel to all nations, and we've never fulfilled it. Why is that? It's not that God is not able. That's on us, right? Not enough of us are like Daniel, with such a testimony that it goes out everywhere. Here his reach goes out. And I love this. When I look at Darius and he makes this statement about Daniel's God, you see Daniel's life revealed in this. It says, "Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is a living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth and worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." I love this. As I see Darius mentioning who God is, everything ties back to Daniel, right? I mean, he says there right off that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. It doesn't say there Jehovah or the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he says the God of Daniel. He says, "I have seen this God in Daniel's life." It says, "For he is the living God and steadfast forever. Steadfast forever. How does he know that? He's seen that in Daniel, right? The faithfulness, the steadfastness in Daniel. And he's looking and saying, if this is Daniel, as he follows his God, man, his God is steadfast. His God is faithful. He says there, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. He sees that in Daniel, right? We threw him in a den of lions. Certain doom. Man, no one's ever been thrown in a den of lions and walked out. And yet Daniel did. Well, his God must not be able to be destroyed either. He's seeing this in Daniel's life, these things he's saying about God. And his dominion shall be even unto the end. He's like, Daniel's an old man now. And yet here he's gone through multiple kingdoms. And every one, his God is seeing him through. Daniel has been all this time and his God is seeing him. It must be because his God is till the end. You cannot defeat his God. I can come in and I can defeat the Babylonians and I can take over. And yet this man here who ruled over the Babylonians is exalted right back. Why? Because he's faithful to his God. His God will last till the end. He delivereth and rescueth. Man, he saw the deliverer and rescuer. Man, aren't you glad that's who we serve as well? Man, he had saved him from that lion's den. And he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Man, who else could close the mouth of lions? These lions were hungry. How do I know that? Because the next day they cast in all these presidents and princes and their children and their wives. And the Bible says these lions had the masteries of every one of them and broke all their bones. Man, he's like, this is a miracle right here. That these lions didn't eat Daniel. And what do I see here? Daniel's reach to all the world. And all they knew about his God was what they knew about Daniel. You know what? I wonder this. I wonder if Daniel's reach was to all the world because God was revealed so well through his life. And I wonder if our reach is just right here because of how little we reveal our God. I mentioned this verse at the beginning of the message. Brings to my mind again where Jesus told his disciples, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. God makes a promise that if in our life we simply lift him up, our reach is going to spread far and wide. So how wide is our reach? How well do we represent our God? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to look at your word and see a hero of the faith, to see someone who had a reputation that was without blemish, without spot. Lord, I wish I could say I was like him. Lord, there's so many areas in my life that I need to work on. Lord, I pray that you'd help each one of us to be focused on lifting you up, that we could have that reach that extends far and wide, not because of who we are, because we are simply lifting you up in our life. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. You say, I know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. Would you raise your hand? I know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. I think you could put your hands down. Maybe you're in here today and you say, I'm not 100% sure I'm on my way to heaven. Would you raise your hand? I'm not 100% sure. And by testimony of that, every one of us should have a large reach for our God. What is our reach? How well do we represent God? You say in some way tonight, God spoke to my heart. Would you raise your hand? God spoke to my heart in the message. Thank you. You can put your hands down. If you'd stand to your feet as the instruments play, the altar is open. Do business with God.